Hey there, thanks for coming. Take a seat.
It's time to retire to the drawing room.
You're never too young to change the world, and a project called Young Change Agents is giving kids the skills to do just that. Founders Jonathan Shrikanthan and Margaret O'Brien join me along with a few of their protégés, Georgia Forrestal, Tamana Karimi and Dylan Nguyen. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Jonathan, I'll start with you. What prompted you to get this off the ground?
It was really a belief in young people and a belief that they can change the world. And they just needed a really simple framework to do that. Essentially, that was it. It was just really belief that that kids can go out there, they know what the problems are in their community, they've got a rough idea what the solutions are, and we just provide the framework for that.
Margaret, do we underestimate children?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I did. I worked in corporates for 15 years in business, and it wasn't until I headed to Colombia and started working more with youth in developing countries that I started to see the abilities that youth had, and actually it was youth that inspired me to develop programs over there. And then when I came back to Australia after meeting Jonathan and bring Young Change Agents program to Australia, I think we've heard from teachers and principals even following the program that maybe they've even underestimated the abilities of the youth in terms of their ability to work through what might seem to some as an adult program, but actually they're able to follow it really well and come up with fantastic initiatives.
So, Margaret, what's your initial response from kids when you kind of suggest to them that they can change the world?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really big concept. I think it's about we break that, put that back down to what is their world. So the first exercises we actually start with is to map your own community and what's important to you. For me, changing your world is, it doesn't need to be the whole world. It's the community that you live in, and thinking about your own passions and interests and deciding which piece of the puzzle or which problem that you think you and your friends or colleagues are able to solve.
I'd like to hear from the children. Georgia, I'm going to start with you. What's important in your world?
I think it's really important for young people to get involved in changing little issues in the community, no matter how big or small they are.
You and your team, I think, from your high school developed a social enterprise through the program. Tell us about that social enterprise.
Yep. So our idea is to make coffee body scrubs using coffee grounds from local cafes and workplaces that were otherwise going to waste, and we're sending half our profits to charity.
Wow. So how are you actually doing it? How are you manufacturing it, making it happen?
So we're getting the coffee grounds from cafes and workplaces, and we're combining that with salt and coconut oil and packaging that and then selling it to first our school, and then hopefully we'll start expanding later.
And what was the problem you were trying to solve?
Our problem was that we waste too much food in Australia, and we wanted to solve that problem.
So you organised this concept. Has it been harder for you to get off the ground than you thought it would be?
Not really. We thought it would actually be quite hard, but it hasn't been too hard.
And I suppose you've become, I imagine, a bit of an example in your community of, you know, taking action. What do you say to other kids about what they can do?
Well, don't think you're too young. Anyone can do it, no matter what age you are and no matter how big or small the problem is. Just start making a change and, yeah.
Do you think there is an idea with kids or with children that they are too young to do certain things? Is that kind of an idea that you found was in a lot of people's minds?
Yeah, I think a lot of people think they're too young to be capable of big things and changing the community, but you're never too young.
Tamana and Dylan, how would you like to change the world? Maybe you can start, Tamana.
I'd like to change the world by helping the environment be more clean by making an app about littering.
An app about littering. Tell me what the app will actually do or say.
We have levels. So far we've designed like our prototypes and we've done 3 levels so far. We had this plan of like a truck, a big rubbish truck coming, and it spreads rubbish everywhere all over the place, and the person that's playing the game has to collect the rubbish and earns points and rewards.
So it's actually a game that they're playing, but giving them the idea about how much rubbish is going into the environment. Is that what the premise of the game is?
Yes.
And Dylan, why did you get involved with it?
I got involved because around us it's like so dirty and it's like waste everywhere. So people just litter, not putting in the rubbish bin and just like making our world like bad. Yeah.
And do you think by playing this game, this app that you're developing, it will change people's ideas about the environment and waste?
Yes, because like we're making a game for children, so when they grow up, they won't litter.
How do you convince other kids that it's a good game?
In the game, they're going to feel like it's a good thing to do it in real life too, so why wouldn't, like, if I were to play the game and I earn lots of rewards, points for tidying up the place, like, everywhere, why wouldn't I do it in real life? It would just be the same thing.
And is the game really fun? Is that what you're trying to achieve? Because obviously it's also about enjoyment as well, isn't it?
Yes.
Is there enough engagement, enough fun apps available to you?
There is lots of fun apps, but we want to make our app fun as well because usually, like,
some people think that cleaning up games are, like, boring and stuff, so they want to make it fun to
entertain people.
Yeah.
What sort of games do kids prefer then?
Usually kids play games like Subway Surfers, Minecraft and all other kind of games.
So this is quite different to Subway Surfers and Minecraft.
Yes.
Jonathan, if I can bring you back in, I guess in old speak, if it's kind of called developing a can-do attitude, isn't it? Have a lot of us grown-ups forgotten that skill?
Yeah, I think so. I think as we get slightly older, as life gets in the way, as circumstances get in the way, I think we do. I think we forget that we can make a difference in the community. And that's why I love what we're doing with this generation, this younger generation. It's really about planting that seed that when they go out into whatever career profession they choose, that they can have a social impact, that they can start with a problem in mind and work around solving that.
I'm interested that a lot of the projects I'm hearing about are very much about the environment, it seems to me. You obviously are across all the projects and the ideas that are being developed beyond these excellent kids that I'm getting the chance to talk to. What other ideas are being developed? What other problems are kids identifying in their communities?
Absolutely. We've got a group here that's very much environmental focused, but there is a broader spread. I'll give you an example of one that recently came out in one of our sessions, and it was around an Alzheimer's focused platform or an app. And the idea was to engage Alzheimer's patients with music therapy and with play therapy and so on like that. And the idea was that the thoughts behind that was that music and play and there was a tie to generational remembrance and so on like that. And so and that's just one example of a whole raft of them. Margaret, can you think of anything else that came out?
There's been quite a number of ideas. We worked with a young Muslim group in Western Sydney in January, and they were looking specifically at problems to do with sectarianism, and they came up with some great ideas. One of that is to create a media channel for young Muslims in Australia. There's hundreds of thousands of them with no positive, united media voice. So that's an example. It will really be dependent on the group. We're also working with some young parents as part of a program with the Australian Red Cross, and they're very much focused on issues and problems that are specific to young mums or disadvantaged mothers. So they're looking at things about how to make childcare or short-term childcare more affordable through services like their current idea is an idea called Grannies to Go, but also ways that they can connect professional mothers with younger mothers in need to help support young mothers at that time. So it'll be very dependent on the group that we work with, and we've never seen the same idea twice.
No, I can imagine. You're in the drawing room, and my guests are Margaret O'Brien and also Jonathan Srikanthan. They're founders of Young Change Agents. And some of the children involved, Georgia Floristal, Tamana Karimi and Dylan Newen, who are all Young Change Agents who are working on different projects. How do you actually get kids to see problems as opportunities? Because there is a mindset that a problem is something that, you know, really worrying and difficult. But of course, a problem is also something you can solve and monetize and change the world with. How are you bringing that idea to the lives of these children?
So in the beginning of the program, when we focus on the community and we ask them to think of problems that they want to solve, we then actually get them to have an election campaign. So we start to see what all the teams stand for. Then they do some root cause analysis around, or we call it the five whys, getting to the bottom of the problems. And then from there, they do some great ideation exercises where they come up with a whole lot of different ideas that they might want to take forward. And it's only when they get to that sort of bulk or 10, 15, 20, 20 ideas that they start to enhance those ideas and pick one to focus on as a social enterprise.
And is it difficult to show kids, Jonathan, that they can make a difference, or do they instinctively kind of have a level of optimism because they're young and not jaded yet?
Absolutely. I think it's definitely the latter. I think they've got it in them. They just need to know how to go about it. They just need that little framework. They just need a little push. But deep down, instinctively, they've got it within them.
I guess it's also about teaching children to tap into things that they're passionate about and developing skills that they have that haven't been developed before. Many of us don't learn to do that until we're into middle age or later that those doors get opened. Are you trying to open those doors earlier?
Absolutely. I think the first exercise that we do when they actually form their teams is to give each other a minute to talk about their passions and interests. And actually what we see right from that beginning is that each team is very different and has a group passion or interest. So we might see that a group would have an environmental skew right from the word go, actually. And I think that young people, even at that early age, at 10, at 13, already have a sort of a direction or because of their life experience that they've had, they are going to be more passionate about one thing than another.
Yeah. And Jonathan, how much interest from schools around Australia are you getting? Because I imagine this would be just a brilliant program to roll out in schools.
Yeah, absolutely. We've just gone through a pilot program where we've reached out to where we're running it within three schools, a primary school and two secondary schools. And the plan is from there to go out and raise awareness within other schools. Absolutely. So in terms of interest, we've gotten a lot of interest. We've gotten a lot of interest from the Department of Education, who are seeing the value in what we're doing. I think one of the other bits that I probably should mention is that it ties in really well to parts of the curriculum, the New South Wales curriculum and the broad Australian curriculum. It affects areas of commerce, of STEM, of mathematics and so on like that.
And Georgia, you try to solve one problem. Are you now encouraged to tackle other problems too? Has this inspired you?
Definitely. Now that I know I can actually conquer problems in our community, then it definitely has inspired me to continue on with this.
So what's your next problem you're going to solve? You must have a list by now.
I'm not sure.
Global warming, poverty. I can give you a list.
Homelessness, maybe.
That'd be a good one. Yeah. I'd love to give you a list. There's so many things that need to be resolved. What do you want to do when you grow up? Have you settled on something?
Not sure yet, but I think I'm interested in like mathematics and things like that.
And Tamana, have you had a think about what you want to do when you're older?
I haven't really thought like what I'm going to do when I'm older, but if I do, like, I will do something when I'm older, and it would probably be a good thing.
Make sure it's a good thing, absolutely. And Dylan, have you had a think about it?
Not really. Probably when I grow up, I want to help the community.
Well, you know what they say now, that young people who are your age, when they're adults, will have like 50 jobs. So you don't have to come up with one idea. You can come up with a smorgasbord. I want to thank all of you for coming into the drawing room. It's been just so great to talk to you all. Thank you.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
Our guests tonight have been Jonathan Srikanthan, Margaret O'Brien, who are both founders of Young Change Agents, and the children involved with the project, Georgia Floristal, Tamana Karimi, and Dylan Newen, who are all... Well, they're all the Young Change Agents themselves. And if you want to get in touch with the program, head to the website youngchangeagents.com.
Want to hear about the best party in town this election season? It's a new podcast with me, Frank Kelly.
And me, Patricia Carvelis.
The Party Room, your essential guide to this federal election. Subscribe now. Simply search for The Party Room in your podcast app.
Or listen via the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.